Atlantis. For many of us, this word evokes images of a kind of lost paradise, a Shangri-La or Garden of Eden where human culture reached a pinnacle from which it fell and to which it has not since returned. This is Rick Pettigrew for the Archaeology Channel. The Atlantis legend has a mysterious aura, inspiring a sense of wonder at what might have been, as well as speculation about whether it could have been. I must admit that, like so many of you, I've had a personal fascination with this story since I was a child. But sometimes it seems that the facts about Atlantis, or the lack of facts, are less important than the persistence of the story, which seems to have taken on a life of its own, growing and evolving over time. We created the Archaeology Channel to be, among other things, a source of reliable information about things archaeological. The recent arrival in movie houses of the new Disney animated feature, Atlantis: The Lost Empire, has reignited public interest in the ancient story first penned by Plato in ancient Greece. It's hard to imagine a better time than right now to address the issue of Atlantis and just what credence we should place in the legend. To put the topic in perspective, we asked Dr. Charles Orser, Jr., Distinguished Professor of Anthropology at Illinois State University, and a recognized expert on the Atlantis story, to talk with us on what is one of his favorite subjects. I was lucky enough to catch up with Dr. Orser over the phone on June 24, 2001, at his summer residence in Ireland, where he conducts archaeological research on 19th century Irish villages. Here is that interview. Dr. Orser, thanks very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much.
Disney's new animated adventure movie, Atlantis: The Lost Empire, has heightened public interest in the subject of Atlantis. Was Atlantis a real place?
Well, it would depend upon who you speak with, of course, but the vast majority of archaeologists would say that it probably wasn't, that it was a morality tale invented by Plato. There are archaeologists, however, that think that it did exist and is in the island of Santorini, or Thera, in the Mediterranean. But there's other archaeologists more on the fringe who would say that it's other places, and of course Atlantis has been everywhere, from Spain to the Caribbean to Africa, and now they say it's in Antarctica, so it's been a little bit of everywhere. But most archaeologists would say it wasn't a real place.
Well, how did you come to be interested in Atlantis?
Well, like everybody, I've read about it. I have always heard about it. And as I began to do a little bit of work on it, a little bit of reading, I discovered it was an interesting place. And it was a great way to teach archaeology, the principles of archaeology and that sort of thing. So I did a lot of reading about it, basically.
So how long have you been researching the subject?
Well, probably a decade, I'd say.
The story of Atlantis was presented originally, I understand, by Plato.
Right.
Tell us about that story and the context in which it was told.
Well, it's a series of two dialogues between Plato and some of his students, and basically they're having this discussion about what a ideal society would look like. And through this medium, I suppose, this story comes out about this place called Atlantis. That was a pretty nice place. They describe it as a circular island that had many temples and glorious places, a couple of racetracks, that sort of thing. And then it becomes destroyed through the people's own, I guess you'd say, immorality or interest in materialism. So it was, most people would think it's very much of a morality tale. But it is told as a story of a real place that real people lived and was sort of a utopia, an ideal society, as long as the people were behaving themselves. But as soon as they turned bad, the place was destroyed and sunk under the ocean.
Now, I understand that in Plato's writings, he says that he got the story from others. Can you describe what he says about the source for the story?
Yeah, he says the source was one of his ancestors came through a long line of people. It was a story that ancient Egyptians were supposed to have told to the famous historian Solon. and came up through history, through the generations, and ended up with Plato. Solon was supposed to have heard the story in 600 BC, and Plato wrote it down around 350 BC, but according to Solon, the Egyptians told him that it was a much, much older story. So it's supposed to be a very, very ancient story.
Now, I understand that the modern phenomenon of the Atlantis myth began with the American writer Ignatius Donnelly. Tell us about Donnelly's book.
Well, Donnelly's book is a fascinating book, and I would encourage people to pick it up and read it. There isn't much truth in it, but it's a great book because it was written in 1882, and it is called Atlantis, the Antediluvian World. And Donnelly was the first pseudo-archaeologist to really take this story and run with it. He was the first to look at many different lines of evidence, from archaeology to linguistics to material culture, to culture history, and it makes for a fascinating read if you don't take it too much to heart. It was a very popular book. It sold rapidly, was a bestseller, and it's been available ever since 1882. So you can go into most bookstores and still find this book available. So it was a major bestseller for the day, still is sold, and has been pretty much the model for most of what we think about Atlantis today.
Well, did Donnelly write the book in order to address the story of Atlantis, or did he have some other purpose?
Well, it's really kind of unclear. He wrote the story, it would appear, because he really believed in Atlantis and wanted to prove to people that Plato's story was, in fact, true. There is some idea, if you read the book closely, and sort of look at some of Donnelly's other writings, that you'll sort of get the idea that he is also telling a morality tale. Interesting thing about Donnelly is that he was also a politician, and he was very much a people's politician. And he was interested in the common man and woman's rights in the Gilded Age. So if you kind of read between the lines, you can see that he's telling a bit of a morality tale about late 19th century America and the rise of the robber barons and materialism and things like that. So it's really unclear. It seems that he really believed in Atlantis, but at the same time, there's a bit of a underlying story there, I think.
Well, did Donnelly change the Atlantis story?
Donnelly was, I wouldn't say he changed it. He certainly embellished it. He was the first one to really sort of flesh it out. I mean, the things that other more recent pseudo-archaeologists have addressed more or less came from Donnelly and not Plato. So, for example, the connections that Donnelly makes between the Atlanteans and the Maya, that's something that's quite commonplace today in pseudo-archaeology. But Plato, of course, didn't talk about the Mayans at all. That was something that Donnelly threw in there and really made quite a popular story. So I would say he probably embellished it more than anything else, sort of fleshed it out.
Did he present any evidence for these links that he proposes between, say, the Atlanteans and the Maya, or between the Atlanteans and the Egyptians?
He did, but it's pretty spurious comparisons, actually. He would take gross categories of artifacts, such as pyramids, and he'd look at the pyramids in Egypt, he'd look at the pyramids amongst the Maya, and he'd say, they are similar, therefore they must be related, and they're related through a common ancestor, and that would be Atlantis. So he does provide evidence. It's not the kind of evidence that most archaeologists would accept today, but he does provide these sort of simple comparisons.
How has the Atlantis story changed over the years since Donnelly? Are there many different versions of it?
Most of the archaeologists who are interested in Atlantis will use Plato's story as their starting point. So they all start with that. And then from there they sort of branch out depending upon where they want Atlantis to be. If it's in, the Bahamas, then they read or interpret the information a little bit differently than they would if they want it to be on the island of Santorini. The most recent theory about Atlantis is that it's in Bolivia, in the Altiplano. And of course, when you think that way, then you have to make all kinds of interpretations about what the lakes mean there and what the mountains mean in terms of Plato's theory. So what people are doing is taking Plato, deciding where they think Atlantis is, and then interpreting that story based on the conditions of the sites and areas that they're working in. So they don't really change it. They just interpret it a little bit differently.
Now, occasionally we hear stories, news stories about undersea discoveries that support the idea that an ancient civilization was swallowed up by the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us some examples of that?
Yeah, there are examples where that actually happens, and that's probably one thing that keeps the Atlantis story alive. One of the most interesting, it's not an ancient story, but it's got good documentation, would be what's happened, or what did happen in the 18th century at Port Royal, Jamaica, where there was an earthquake, and half of the city went in the ocean. And archaeologists, underwater archaeologists, have been working there for many years, and they find essentially a sunken city with all the artifacts and the streets and all that sort of thing that Port Royal had in the 18th century. I mean, it's a compelling story, and wherever that's happened, you would find real archaeological sites that are underwater. And that, I think, helps keep this Atlantis story alive. They think, well, if that could be true, then Atlantis might be true as well.
Well, sometimes you hear stories of Atlantis being in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Is there any possibility of such a thing?
There doesn't seem to be any possibility that that could be true. That was Donnelly's major point, is that the island was exactly where Plato said, which was in the Atlantic Ocean. But subsequent geophysical and deep ocean surveys have proven that there's no possibility for an island to be sunken in that area. What that has meant then is that people interested in having Atlantis be in other places have had to move it out of the Atlantic, and that's why we find it in so many other places.
Now, many of our website visitors might be surprised to learn that you teach a class about Atlantis there at Illinois State University. If you're not an Atlantis believer, quote-unquote, why would you teach a class about it?
Well, that's a good question, and it's a question I get asked quite frequently. Atlantis is a great story. I mean, it's entertaining, it's fun, and most people have heard about it, and that'll certainly be the case with the Disney movie. Everybody who's under the age of 15 or so in the future is going to know that story very well as it's presented by Disney. What I've discovered is that dealing with Atlantis from an archaeological viewpoint provides a really great way for students to learn how archaeologists think, how archaeologists use information, and how they interpret data. So you take Atlantis' story as it's presented by Plato, and then discuss what some other archaeologists have done with that story, and then have the students critique it, learn how to think critically about archaeological sources and how they're used. So Atlantis is a great way to teach archaeology.
Well, you've done a lot of critical thinking on this subject over the years, and you've certainly been asked many, many questions. So I would imagine that many of our website visitors would like to know, what's the bottom line? Do you think that there was such a thing as Atlantis or not?
I would say there wasn't, that it was merely a morality tale that Plato was telling. Now, the Minoan civilization is the one that most reputable archaeologists think was sort of the model for Atlantis, and I would believe that perhaps, but I would say as far as Atlantis itself is concerned, I would say no, there was no such real place.
Well, that's about as much time as we have. Dr. Orser, I want to thank you on behalf of our website visitors. Thank you very much for taking the time to spend with us today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Besides being an anthropology professor at Illinois State, Dr. Orser is adjunct professor of archaeology at the National University of Ireland in Galway, the director of the Center for the Study of Rural Ireland, and the founding editor of the International Journal of Historical Archaeology. An article by Dr. Orser on the history of the Atlantis story appeared in the December 2000 issue of Discovering Archaeology magazine. He's also been interviewed on the subject by news organizations, including the Associated Press. We're very pleased to be able to bring you his thoughts on the subject of Atlantis. We also realize that there is a diversity of opinion on the subject, and we welcome your comments. You can contact us through our email link in the About Us section of this website. If you feel that we are providing a valuable service, please consider becoming a member of the Archaeology Channel. To learn more about that, click on the Become a Member link on this page. Thank you very much.